We ought to be able to sing just like Paul and Silas, right? No matter what's going on in our life. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, again, another tonight topical message on growing in the Lord. And preaching this message kind of based upon what I saw this week and what a blessing this past week. What a blessing it was to see our church family be selfless and putting on a vacation Bible school of that magnitude. Of all the effort that went into the decorations and building of sets to all the preparation for snacks and just on and on and on as we think about various parts of the wheel that went together and to make everything work. And what a blessing it is to be a part of this kind of church that's willing to work and to, again, minister to others. One of the things we talk about when we talk about being Christians is Christian growth. And I'm thankful I'm part of a church where we are a part of a growing church and a church with people who want to grow for the most part. There's always that few, but who want to grow, who want to be taught the Word of God and see growth in their life. Again, we witnessed that this week. 111 workers here Wednesday night. You know, 213 kids. But 111 workers. So over, I'm sure there was probably over 100 workers each night who worked the VBS. And so it takes all of us working together to do that. I'm just so impressed again with that this year. Look at First John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And we've been studying First John a little bit back and forth the last few weeks. On a couple of different occasions, three or four different occasions in the book, it describes that one of the proofs that we're saved is we have a love for the brethren and a love for each other, a love for the world outside these doors. And so as we think about that, let's think about the church tonight very briefly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. I pray tonight that we again would see the importance of the church. And we thank you, Lord, for a loving church body that cares so much about children and so much about each other. And I'm thankful that I'm a part of this church. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. The church, our Heritage Baptist Church, or the church, or the local church, is a part of our growing process as Christians. And there used to be, the expression used to be, it takes a village. But I can tell you, it takes a church. And I'm so thankful for Sunday school teachers and workers and children's church workers and master club workers and everyone who works with our kids as they bring them along. And all of our adult Sunday school teachers who help in that growing process. And Brother Wiggins and others who preach from this pulpit helping in that growth process. It's part of our Christian life, a very important part of our Christian life. As I think about the church or various aspects of our Christian growth, the church has such an impact on that. And again, just kind of a reminder tonight. All right? So we think about the church, we think about the called. Romans chapter 1, verse 6 says, it says, the called of Jesus Christ. We are the called. We are the called. We are the called out ones. The church, ecclesia, the Greek word means a called out assembly. And then, of course, it's Christ's church. So it's a called out assembly of born again baptized believers fulfilling the Great Commission. That's the definition of a church. A called out assembly of born again baptized believers fulfilling God's command, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I know I've said this a hundred times, but when a church ceases to fulfill that definition, it's no longer a church. It's merely a social club. And we do have a lot of churches today that are merely social clubs, and we never want to lower ourselves to that. And we need to be careful and keep the main thing the main thing, and main thing the main thing is to reach people for Jesus Christ, to see 14 processions of faith at VBS, to have fall fests and all these other activities. Even the Christian school, me and Brother Scott Tremar have discussed this a lot. We allow outside kids to the school, not necessarily because we need them, but because we want to reach them. And so sometimes we make some judgment calls and so forth to try to help kids and how to reach kids. And we try very hard not to take kids that are troublemakers, and we don't take kids from schools that they've been kicked out of other schools. But we want to win people to Jesus in every ministry. That is our goal. Our goal. Every Sunday school teacher, that should be your goal, to reach your class for the Lord Jesus, to see kids get saved. And adult Bible teachers, remember that when you're in that class and You may know your class, and you may know your adults that are saved, but when you have a visitor walk in, you need to remember to give the gospel in that class. I don't know of any lesson you can teach where you can't put the gospel in it. And I might remind the Christian school teachers here at Heritage that you've got lost people in your class, and we need to remember that as we teach and as we preach, that we are called out to fulfill that great commission. Called out, the church, a called out assembly. Called out from what? Called out from the world. Called out from the world and its system. We're to be separated. The Bible describes the church as unspotted. We're not to be of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen? That's pretty simple. I know there's a lot of lines have been blurred in the last, 10, 30 years, really the last 20 years maybe, and more significantly. But we're not to be of the world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. The church the same way. And there ought to be a distinction between us and the world. And I've used this illustration many times, but there was a definite distinction. Once the law of Moses was given to the children of Israel, there was a definite distinction between a Jew and a Gentile. A definite distinction. God gave the laws for their good, but God gave the laws to the children of Israel to make them distinct. They were God's people. And therefore, we as Christians are called out to be separated from the world because we are chosen, we are called to be distinct. To be distinct. There ought to be something different about a Christian. We ought to look different, act different, smell different. And I know I'm kidding a little bit, but we ought to be different. Love not the world, neither things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And we ought to live distinct lives. We are a peculiar people. I love that statement. We're called out to be separate. We're called out to show others, to be a light. To be a light, and we want to do that today in our society, to be a light, to tell others of Jesus, to help be that calm in the storm, that others can see Christ's life live through us, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to be kind to our coworkers, and on and on and on. We are called out. And then we're called together. Acts 2:44 says, there after the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people got saved, and it says they were all together in one accord, and they went house to house, and they were fellowshipping and breaking bread. The Bible says there, all that believed were together. They were together. And we're called to be together as a church family. The church there in Acts chapter 2 prayed together, worshiped together, heard the word of God together, then ate together, gave together, and witnessed together. Amen? We got that eating part down. I know that. Got the giving part. I don't say we got that down. I don't think you can ever outgive God. But it is amazing how our church continues to step up and give and be so selfless. It's amazing. And you're to be commended as a church and as a family. But that witnessing part is a tough one. We are reminded tonight that we ought to witness to others. But we are called together to fulfill the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. To go in the highways and hedges to compel them to come in. But really, that togetherness includes loving God and growing together and serving others. What's up on the wall in the auditorium that nobody pays attention to anymore? We ought to grow together. We ought to serve together. The results of that is increase in attendance, increase in people getting saved. We're called together. It was real popular in the Dark Ages to establish monasteries. The Catholic Church established monasteries. So when the Bible says to come out from among them, be separate, it's not talking about establishing monasteries and to get out in the wilderness of somewhere and live in isolation. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. That would be selfish. We are to be in the world but not of the world. And that is to be a light to that neighbor and to be a light to our coworkers. To be a light to that cousin or that aunt. To be a light. To be a witness to them. So we are called out to be separated. We are called together. Called together. Not to live in isolation, but we are called together as a church. It's so important. Fellowshipping is important. We make fun of eating together, but that is important. It's important to establish relationships in the church and that you have friends in the church. It's important. Those things are important. You say, well, preacher, there's too many cliques in the church. I always tell people, yeah, there's cliques in the church. Find the clique that best describes who you are and join the clique. And there's always going to be those cliques, but understanding that if a church is functioning correctly, per se, there are no cliques. We all getting along with each other and serving together in spite or despite our differences and personalities or whatever it may be, that we're serving to God together. Fellowshipping is so important. That's why it's important that the adult classes have fellowships from time to time. And they're supposed to be having one once a month. And establishing that fellowship, it's important that we have those. It's important that we fellowship together. You know, a family who never talks to each other isn't much of a family, is it? Right? How are you supposed to find out someone's hurts or someone's feelings or help someone or encourage someone if you're not hanging out with them? I don't know anything but the church. I don't have friends outside. You know, I don't. I have a couple of pastor friends. I'd maybe include Brother Terry in that and a couple others, Brother Stewart and Brother Weatherby and a few others. But my friends are here. Amen. We need to remember that the church is important when it comes to togetherness and fellowshipping together. And I used to say this a lot. I haven't said it in a long time. But when we're at fellowships, it might be good for you to sit by somebody you don't know. I mean, I hear a lot of complaints about, I don't know anybody anymore. You know, it's grown. Well, go find somebody you don't know and sit beside them, get to know them. Make an effort at it. And we ought to come togetherness, a called together, called out, called together. And then I've already mentioned this, but called forth. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, that we are called out to witness to people, that we are not to find ourselves inward focused. So many churches today are so focused on themselves rather than outside of themselves. And you'd be surprised. I know some of you are so used to this church, and I am too now. I'm so used to that philosophy of doing, you know, that we're not here to be takers. We're here to be givers. But there are churches I grew up in, many of them, that was very much isolationists when it came to the community and did not feel as the church should participate and community events. And I'm just telling you, that was a wrong philosophy, and that we ought to be out in highways and hedges compelling them to come in, that a church in a community ought to be a part of the community, ought to, as much as they can without compromising, be a part of helping in the community and trying to be a blessing in the community. And I think churches got a bad rap because they always had their hand out. That's another area we've tried very careful to not go to every business with our hand out. And I know we still raise money for HCA and the youth department, but the church itself is maintained by the giving of its people. Amen? Buildings here are built not by bake sales, but through the giving of God's people. And let us always be tried in our churches to be called forth to tell others of the gospel and to be givers and not takers. So that would mean soul winning. That would mean Vacation Bible School. I don't know exactly what Vacation Bible School costs us, but it's several thousand dollars. And to be a blessing in our community and see 14 people make a profession of faith, 14 kids. It's worth it all. It's worth it all. The Fall Fest costs us thousands of dollars, and it's worth it to be a blessing to not only to our kids and to your grandkids, but to be a blessing to our community. And it's become such an event here in Haslett and part of the fabric of the community, and we want to continue that. And whatever it may be, we think about tracts and brochures that we purchase and we put out there, and we want to continue to be called forth. We are called forth to tell others the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. By the way, we live in a society where there's hardly any good news. We have the greatest news on earth right here. There's nothing better you can share with someone. There's no better good that you can do for someone than to tell them of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so encourage you that the church is here to help us and help us grow and mature as Christians. How does it do that? It helps us because we're called out. We are called out. We're to be separated people. We were called together to fellowship and pray together and love each other. We're called forth to fulfill the Great Commission, and one day we'll be called up. Called up. The rapture is going to happen, and Christ will return. The trumpet will sound. What a day that will be. I'm looking forward to the day, the blessed hope of His return. Just want to repeat again, what a church God has given us. Amen. And it's exciting to know the Lord will return, but also knowing that while we're here on earth, that we have a church that we can be a part of. Not perfect, but we aren't perfect. Don't lose the wonder of what it means to be a part of a good church. Not perfect, but God's people. I think sometimes we take it for granted. I know some that don't take it for granted when you go on vacation and you visit another church or two. You find yourself in a community where there's not a good church. We are called. We are the called. As we think about the subject of, again, growing together, we think about love is the key. Love is the key. Some are called out, but some don't love. Some don't love. They love this world more than they love the Lord. Some are called out, but some don't separate. We have that here at Heritage. All of us, to a certain extent, still got a foot in the world if we're not careful. We need to be careful. Amen? Amen. We're called together, but some don't. We have some that are not here tonight. Some are working, and that's between them and the Lord, and some are sick. Some are traveling today. But those who are not here in attendance tonight, Hebrews 10:25 says they're breaking God's law. As I stated this morning, we're not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So some are called together, but some don't. Some don't. As a young preacher, it bothered me so very much, and I'm thankful I get to preach to some people Sunday morning. And that's the way I look at it now. Used to bug the tar out of me that some people didn't come back on Sunday night and Wednesday nights. And I still don't understand it. If you're a Christian, born-again child of God, why wouldn't you want to come and hear the Word of God preached and sing and fellowship with Christians and so forth? I have a hard time with that. Some are called together, but some don't. Some are called for, or were called forth, but some don't. About 20 years ago, there was a survey done of churches around the nation and how much money was given to outreach and to evangelism. On the average, again, this is 20 years ago, it was 5%. 5%. I think we're somewhere, just missions, we're somewhere around 15%. If you include ministry, we're up around 25%. I wish it could be more, don't you? And as we go along, I hope it will be more. But we need to remember, we're here to go forth, to tell others. And our mission budget does have a lot to say about our church. I'm so thankful for a church that does love missions and gives to missions and gives a large portion of missions. I was looking back. Actually, we've been destroying old financial stuff from the church. So I know y'all don't believe this about me, but up until the last 2 or 3 weeks, we had every piece of paper the church has ever owned was still in existence. In a closet. Boxes and boxes and boxes of it. So by law, we're only required to keep 7 years. And we had, 16 years of it. So we started destroying paper. And so it was neat to see that some of those boxes came out some neat stuff. And I was glad to be able to... I didn't go through it personally because we still kept about half of it. So somebody else did it and I didn't watch. So they brought me a few things, and some of those things was they found the very first annual administrative meeting booklet, which I didn't have in my file, which I have everything in my file too. I can't believe I didn't have that there. And to pull it out and to see the year 2000, what we were doing, and to see what God has done now would blow your mind. That first year in 2000, we gave about $20,000 to missions. This last year we gave $200,000 to missions. To see how God has used that. I'm just, again, amazed. Amazed to go back and to think about how God has brought us along. We need to remember not to take that for granted, but that God has called us forth to tell others. And the mission budget is important, and the outreach budget is important, like the Fall Festival and many of these programs and ministry we have to reach out to our community. We even have a community outreach section in the budget now, and where we want to participate in what the city is doing when it comes to various events they're having, and even sponsor some of those events, and that our name appears on some of their publications. And we want to do those things. We want to go forth. We want to tell others of the Lord and tell others where we are and who we are. Amen. Again, we're not perfect. By the way, I didn't grow up in a perfect family either. My brother is not perfect. Danny Crawford is not perfect. That guy has lots and lots of problems. I mean, lots of problems. Some of those problems he needs to get help with. I was just spent 2 days with him and his kids. Thursday and Friday went up to the farm, and then we went to, we took the boat down to Warika Lake and went tubing with about half his kids in our boat. We had 13 people on that boat, which is legal, by the way. And that's how many's legal out on the boat. And spent time with my brother, and I enjoy that. But my brother is not perfect. I know y'all think I think my dad's perfect, but he's not either. He's as close to as I know, humanly speaking, but he's not perfect. I've seen him lose his temper a time or two and so forth. If our family's not perfect, why would you expect your church to be perfect? I still don't understand. A person will say, well, I don't go to church because there's too many hypocrites down there. Well, you come down here and join it, you'll be a hypocrite too, because we're all just sinners saved by grace and trying to do our very best with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, but we all, to a degree, are hypocrites. No church is perfect, no family is perfect, and love covers a multitude of sins. And I know it's cliche, but love conquers all. And if you love, I love my brother, and therefore when my brother does something that offends me, that love covers it up. Right? I still speak to my brother when he doesn't treat me right. I know some people don't. Some people cut family off because they got whatever, but I've never seen that. Me and my brother disagree a lot in many, many areas. Him and I are polar opposites. And I love him to death. I'd do anything for him. And that's the way it comes when it comes to church family. In the New Testament, 12 times it says for us to love one another. 12 times. In 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, again, it says that the greatest gift we can have is to love. Love. We're to love one another. This love takes the Lord. If you're going to love somebody who you deem as unlovable, it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to help you love them. It's not something you accomplish on your own, through your own energy, through your own efforts. It happens by way of the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Listen, I'm not preaching the sermon because I heard something bad at VBS happened, and there's zero that happened at VBS. But I just want to encourage you as you work together. So, we want to be careful that we don't treat our fellow church members as we might treat our coworker. This is not Lockheed. You know, it's not. The person sitting to you at Lockheed working is a coworker. And of course, we're to be kind to and everything, right? Amen. We're to love each other. But remember, when you're at church and you're dealing with 3-year-olds or you're dealing with 10-year-olds and you're working with 3 or 4 different people, remember they're family, and you're to love them. And some people may not exactly meet together in personalities and so forth, but we're to love each other. And love hides a multitude of sins, and we're to overlook some things. Can we be reminded that we're to love each other? Jesus Christ loved us. And we're to love each other. Again, I've heard zero things of just doing a preemptive strike. I don't know how you guys deal with 3- and 4-year-olds. I would go absolutely crazy. I'd have pulled every hair out of my head, what's left of it. I just can't. I can't imagine how unnerving it would be. And then working with me anyway. Love each other. One of the tests that we are saved is that we have a love for each other as brethren, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we ought to love each other. As you think about the church, and there are many illustrations of how a church works in the Bible, and you know, Paul gives us 3, the body, the building, and the bride. But also Paul gives us the illustration of an army, that we are an army. As a church, we're an army. Again, we have a common enemy. We have a commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Each of us doing his or her job. Not everybody does the same job. And certainly not everyone's been given the same talents or the same gifts. And we need to work together, remind ourselves that we are working, we're an army working together to win people to Jesus Christ. And you may not exactly like how we tore out this side of the building and going to put some new stuff down. You may not like the color of car. Again, I know we make fun of that, but there are seriously churches who've split over the color of carpet. That boggles my mind to the nth degree. That is trivial stuff. What we paint the walls with or what we do, those are all trivial things. What's important is winning people to Jesus Christ. And we are an army dedicated to that, dedicated to the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we try so very hard to make everything in the church about that as much as we can. And we need to keep the main thing the main thing. We think about the army. We think about a temple of God. And I don't want to go into this illustration. We'd be here forever. But reminding you that each of us are living stones, Peter says. Building up a spiritual house, Romans says. We are building up a spiritual house, that each one of us is a stone. When you walked in that door, you represent, by illustration, a stone of the Heritage Baptist Church. And you are one of the stones in that spiritual building that we built up tonight. And those who are missing, that means we're missing a stone in our wall, in our building. It's important that we all come together to build a spiritual house. And then our hope is, our goal is that we build up a spiritual house that is conducive for the Lord to show up in a special way. Amen? By the way, we're two or more gathered together. I understand the principle. The Lord's here, but it doesn't mean He has to make Himself evident. You hear me pray, and especially with the deacons, I pray every Sunday morning, Lord, make Yourself evident today. I know He's here because He's promised to be here, but it does not have to make Himself evident. And we do that by creating an environment for Him to feel comfortable, for the Holy Spirit to feel comfortable, that each of us came in here the doors tonight ready to receive the Word of God and ready to give and to do for others. So much more. The last and probably best illustration of the church is the body. That we are a body. Romans uses this illustration. We see this in Ephesians and other places. That we're a body working together. Individual parts functioning in unity. Working together in love. That means we've got to put our pride aside. Put our competitive spirits aside. In high school, there was guys absolutely more talented than I was. Absolutely. But I was very competitive and wanted to do my very best, and so I would absolutely compete with them. I would absolutely compete with them. Do my very best to be better than they were, or to do more than they could, or whatever the case is. But that's not what we do here at church. We put our competitive spirit aside. We work together in unity, understanding that various gifts have been given to various people. And therefore, as a body, we work together, putting the church's needs ahead of ours, getting out of my comfort zone. Again, this is where I put in, we need to be careful about treating our fellow church members like we would might with a co-worker. We need to be careful. We're not on the job. You know, that what I'm saying, you understand what I'm trying to illustrate. No, we're family, working together. And there really needs to be a consideration that there's no sibling rivalry in the church. I'm not saying there isn't our family growing up at all, but I will tell you, I beat my brother in a lot of stuff, as much as I could. He was 4 years older than me. I got married before him, had a kid before he did. I mean, anything I could beat him, I have a list if y'all want to see it. And I remind my dad every once in a while, I bring the list out. I'm the favorite son. I was the favorite grandson, and I was the favorite great-grandson. Y'all can see that, can't you? Yeah. Competitive spirit. And we need to be careful that that doesn't infiltrate the church. That we're here to work together. And maybe you didn't get the job or this job, or maybe you didn't get that ministry, or maybe you didn't, and maybe someone's doing a better job than you per se, but all of us have gifts and various abilities. And we need to work what we have and what abilities we've been given to the nth degree for the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We're not called to succeed by way of what the world says. We're called to be faithful, as I preached the other day. Just be faithful. Keep the main thing the main thing. Be steady. Be faithful in what you're doing. A growing church is always in transition. And I'm amazed again how this church has done that and has made the changes over the years that need to be made. But can I tell you, no matter your age, no matter your position, We need to be careful that the church comes first. And when we need to make changes, we need to make changes. And don't, something like this should never come out of your mouth. Well, I am this old and I can't make a change. Right? Nobody's ever heard that before. I'm set in my ways and I can't make a change. I can't tell you, you can't find nobody more set in his ways than me. So I cannot stand change. But we have made changes over the years. And a few times I've made some changes. And we need to be willing to make those changes. Amen? For the greater good, for the greater cause, for the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. With growth comes change. We need to preach the truth in love. Let us be reminded that people want to be loved. And they'll accept the truth if they're loved. Amen. We need to preach the truth in love. Remember that everybody grows differently. No two people are the same. We need to love each other. There are 45 times in the New Testament it uses the word another. I've been saying for years I was going to put together some sermons on the anothers in the Bible and still haven't done it. I've preached on love one another and some of those separately, forbear one another and some of the ones separately. But I'd like to put a series of messages together on the 45 anothers in the Bible. 12 love one another's, and if obeyed, we would experience fewer problems if people just edified one another, admonished one another, served one another, forgave one another, forbear each other. I love that word still. Put up with each other. Exhort one another. It means to encourage each other. And then the last one, pray for each other. Can you just imagine if all of us, we followed the anothers in the Bible, things would be much better. Much better. Let's just love each other and pray for each other, encourage one another. What a great week we had this past week. Some people tired and a lot of late nights. But man, what value we see in 14 kids making professions of faith. And by the way, whatever you're part of in this church, you had a part in that. If you're a family member of this church, you had a part in that. And whether or not you came and served or whether you gave in the offering plate, you had a part in that as a church family. Let's all stand. Hymn 351, wherever he leads, I'll go.